So this is Katie and Michaela with their game about Iceland, Scotland, and grimoires, and probably some interleavings from Max, who is working on Porn Game. Okay.
Porn Game!
Porn Game. All right, so you guys are my last interview, and I decided to do it today because you seemed very confident, and also I know you from before, so I don't... didn't feel like you needed to get me out of my most professional.
Wow, really?
Which was yesterday.
Okay. You can do
but
you
also
want.
I'm just, you know, friendly. So I have a bunch of questions for you, and they're things like, what were you expecting when you came from the jam? And I was just hoping that you guys could maybe tell me a little bit about yourselves, your backgrounds, and your game. Michaela?
Oh, man.
Okay. My background is, I don't know, varied film.
Varied film, varied. As a production assistant and then now producer. And occasionally I do some jam jams, which is a new kind of game jam, where you just make jammies. A jam jam.
All right. And Katie, how did you come to No Jam 2? And what's your background?
My background's in all sorts of things, but mainly animation. I trained as an animator and I kind of moved away from the world of animation, being not really enamored with the whole animation culture.
Can you tell me a bit about animation culture?
I tried working for an animation studio for a while, and I came to Toronto feeling like I wanted to work in the animation industry. It's like there's more of an interesting, like it's more kind of what I want to do, like the whole, drawing in the whole Disney style, like I like the whole Sheridan animation scene. At least I thought I did until I got here and realised that a lot of it's very much the same. Basically, it's a Disney factory.
Yes.
I'm not into Disney factories. I'm into doing things my own way in my own style.
Okay.
Especially since being told by one of the tutors that you had to draw girls in an appealing way would be have a successful female character. This guy is also 50 and married, but
okay.
That's the kind of people that are in the animation. So there's lots of really cool things being done, but I don't feel super excited about it. And so I, ever since being involved with the Difference Engine, which, should I explain the Difference Engine?
You are allowed to talk about whatever you like.
Okay.
You were explaining your background for how you got here.
Okay, so...
I'll just transcribe things and put them in my appendix.
Okay.
So that's where these are going to live, is your statements get to go and live kind of in the appendix of my thesis.
Oh, okay.
Do that, because the more you talk, the more I can be done with.
Yeah. So I want to... I've lost my train of thought. No, yeah, so since being involved in the Difference Engine, it culminated a series of points where I realised I really think I want to work in games. So now I'm in games, doing animation illustration in games, even though I'm not doing as much animation anymore. So I think that's... And I've worked in the video games industry before as well, so I feel like that's kind of also my background. My background's difficult to describe because I've hopped jobs so many times. So...
That's okay. That sounds great. So,
okay.
You guys both then have a film understanding. You know, animation is part of film.
Yeah.
Film is part of animation in ways.
Mm.
So you kind of have an understanding of how video works.
Yeah.
And how FMV works. And
yes.
What were you expecting when you came to this jam?
I didn't know that we were going to be using ScreenPerfect. I think I just didn't read that part. I didn't know that we were using it, so that was kind of cool. And I also didn't know that we were essentially going to be making kind of our versions of Hannah's game, like using the same kind of storytelling technique. So I had an idea for a game that wasn't going to work,
mm-hmm.
that we ended up kind of making work,
mm-hmm.
in a weird way by stripping away a lot of the functionality, which is a good thing in the end.
So do you sometimes come to game jams with your own expectations of
always.
What'll be going on?
And yeah, always.
Can you talk to me a little bit about
that? So with a jam, because I've jammed like, I guess, 3 times now, and I never do it very well. So I always try to come like mildly prepared and then figure out that's not going to work. So this one I actually tried really hard to like think of a concept, think of how I would execute it, what tools I would use, and then I was given a tool. Which made me change my execution and my concept, but not by much, to be honest. And I knew it was going to involve filming. I knew I had a pretty huge library, like several terabytes of film from the last couple of years, just from various projects. So I was hoping to use that, but I was also prepared to shoot as well, so I had all my equipment hot and ready.
So where are the usual stress points for you in jams? You mentioned that sometimes things flunk for you.
Yeah, it's learning on the first day if I can make my idea work with a tool, and then teaching myself that tool, because usually I have no idea how to use it, whether it's Game Maker or Flash, or what else have I used? What's the one that I hate, but it's good?
Stencil.
Yeah. It's not good. so I'm trying, like, I have these really big concepts because I'm a producer and that's all I do is make up ideas and then get other people to do them for me. Mm-hmm. So I find with game jams, I have to do them myself, so then I have to spend the first, like, day at least trying to figure out how to make my game work.
Okay.
And then the second day is realizing I can't.
And what's your working process look like this time? And what did your working process look like in the week leading up to the jam? Did you two know you were going to work together?
Yeah, we kind of decided we wanted to work together.
Because we kind of accidentally found out that we were working together through a previous meeting.
A couple days before.
Yeah.
And we didn't really talk about concept until the day of the jam really much. And then we kind of spent a really, really long time, like most of the week, trying to make our story, our concept work.
Yes.
Which probably took up most of our time.
Can you tell me a little bit about your concept and your story?
Our concept.
You're doing it now.
Yeah, so our concept is, we kind of built the concept.
What kind of tablet is that?
Oh, it's a Wacom Intuos 4, I think.
Nice, okay. I just wanted to know, now go back to telling me about the concept.
Okay.
That was me wanting to buy some equipment.
Okay, this is pretty good to see. Anyway, our concept is called Grimoire, and it's basically, a grimoire is a magical textbook, so it's a notebook for a witch.
Yep.
Some kind of... it's basically the concept is you find this notebook. It's like a journal of a researcher who is looking into, it's trying to find this particular grimoire. So all you have is a journal and
a computer word,
a hard drive, which is broken, that you're trying to recover files from.
Yeah, you kind of get these two mysterious objects.
Yeah, so you receive these two objects and you are just exploring those artifacts, mm-hmm. and looking through them, and it's just about... There's two accounts within that notebook. So the first is the main one, which is the author, who is Sarah Hopkins, who's looking, researching this particular grimoire. And then also is contained notes from another journal from a girl who was...
Okay, yeah. You're good. I'm acting engaged. Sometimes that goes too much. I'm sorry, I'm hearing it, but I'm also thinking about how this works with, like, what your practice is, because we're just talking. I'm just sort of, like, curious as to, like, I know Michaela has footage, and I know you have an animation background. Can you talk to me a little bit about what the different concepts look like on screen?
Oh, yeah, so
it was good.
It was a story.
I'm just sort of like...
Yeah.
So mine looks like I'm doing kind of glitched out video footage. I've kind of collected all my footage from the last couple of years from these areas and glitching it out in Final Cut and cutting it really fast, making it look weird and creepy.
Okay.
A lot of post.
And I heard that, like, earlier that it was Icelandic and Scottish and that
sort of
thing.
Iceland, yeah. Scotland, England, and then I'm also layering in some really creepy binaural audio, 3D holographic
and
audio.
Katie, are you doing lots of, like, writing? And how's that working with, like, the video process?
I'm essentially, because what we already had was Michaela's footage, I'm building a story around the footage and the software we have available. So trying to put it into a context where you can interact with the journal and see the footage and see how that works. So
yeah. Essentially her screen is going to be flat. It's going to be a still image, and my screen's going to be the
so you guys
one.
Divided up producing the two screens.
That was our division of labor.
All right, awesome. And so is that how your group is working through your process today, that, like, you have the division of labor is the two screens are independent but talk to one another?
Exactly.
Pretty much.
And they have, like, totally different but harmonious aesthetics.
Okay.
Yeah, well, obviously they're two different media, so what you're looking at is the from the author themselves, but yeah, there's other sort of footage mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sort of, what is your media consumption background?
I consume all media at all times. I like movies, but I play a lot of video games, primarily. Watch a lot of Netflix.
My media consumption is primarily non-fiction, actually.
Okay.
Especially historical non-fiction, so okay. I've been watching a lot of historical documentaries.
So not a huge amount of, like, video art or that sort of thing?
Also animation and film.
No.
Obviously, I watch a lot of films, but I don't actually play loads of video games, only because a lot of them I don't have a console, but my main games that I do play are point-and-click adventure games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but video art, I'm not... No.
Video art?
I don't really consume a lot of this kind of thing, mainly because I don't know where to consume it, and it's not easy to consume necessarily, so I like things that are... delivered to my living room or my computer screen with ease.
How do you feel about movies versus TV versus YouTube?
I actually subscribe. I just started really getting into YouTube in like the last year.
Yeah.
And I subscribe to like 20 channels and I follow a lot of vloggers, like a lot of comedians.
How old are you, Michaela?
26.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Informal survey.
Oh, yeah. So I've just started to get into YouTube and I'm going to start producing something for YouTube actually.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I've been meaning to do it for the last year, but I'm going to start in proper, probably in the new year. But I kind of like YouTube. I don't think it's great for storytelling, to be honest. For long-form narrative, it just doesn't, the production values aren't there yet.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to bring that to it a little bit. But it's great for, like, short documentary-style projects. It's good for short-form media.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like for long-form media, I still like to consume on a comfy surface and, like, I want to be on a big TV.
The question just occurred to me because, like, I had this vision of a gallery in... where the hell was I? I think I was in Berlin a little while ago, and I ended up finding this video art person. And, like, I was going in to see it, and it was all, like, crazy cross images of, like, the ocean and mining and tunnels and highways.
That's
interleaved with, like, somebody reading speech from an extremely terrorist... like one of the Norwegian terrorists from the last 2 years.
Oh,
and
weird.
It was about, you know, social controls and totalitarianism. And the curator who happened to be in the room was like, yes, but this is just a job. This is just a Gerhard Richter painting. I see nothing of value here. Which was really interesting, but I think I just might have seen some of your footage of Iceland and then it, like, crossed in my head with that.
My footage, it looks like it should be like a video art project thing. It's very much not what I normally make. I make documentary very, like, it's been hard because our footage is so pretty, so having to make it look scary and not pretty.
Do you find it, like, freeing to be able to do that?
It's been,
like,
so super fun. No, the opposite. It's been, actually, I like the constraints that have been put on the project. It's enabled me to do things I would never do. I would normally make, like, a pretty, bright, well-exposed documentary, and I instead made some kind of, like, Nine Inch Nails video. Like a shitty, girly Nine Inch Nails video.
So, what do your games normally look like, Michaela?
I play almost all AAA titles on console.
What are the games you make?
Exactly the opposite of what I play, because I don't know how to make what I play. I make, like, I've never made a game that I have wanted to play.
Okay.
If that makes
sense.
And
what are some of your favorite games?
Michaela
is noted for her bubblegum aesthetic, by the way.
Yeah, which is weird because
her crazy dark bubblegum aesthetic, but
yeah, I wanna make games like that, but I don't know how. I play, like, what's my favorite game right now? I love Skyrim, I like Mass Effect, I like BioWare stuff. Yeah, like big, giant, story-driven AAA titles. And recently I'm starting to get into first-person shooters because I like sniping.
I like first-person shooters because first-person shooters make me incredibly, incredibly motion sick and always have, so I can't play them.
Oculus Rift is not going to be for your
friends. I put an Oculus Rift on and I had to go home and have a lie down for an hour.
Yeah.
With Gravol. It was not pretty.
It fucks
your
brain.
I feel like I have a similar reaction.
A little bit.
I've never had vertigo that bad in my life.
It's weird how much it messes with you, eh? I like it. It makes me feel sick in a happy way.
I had an Oculus Rift on a bicycle. One, like a stationary bicycle.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Oh, motion sickness. That would make sense.
Because you can control it, right? But yeah. It's the sitting and
the like. You're actually
what
like
actually
your body
made me
still thinks
super
you're
motion sick was I went and I put on someone's body in one of the demos, and I looked down and I looked up, and then I was like, okay, this is all right. And then I went and I tried one of the walking around things, and then I just like was putting on the body and walking around, and then I was like, I am the sickest I have ever been.
I found that sitting was just terrible.
Riding a motion bicycle would probably help me.
Omnidirectional treadmill.
It was also Kinect driven, so it was like it was a tribute to Paperboy.
Yeah, you tried that?
Yeah.
It was fucking lucky.
It was awesome.
I wanted to play that so badly.
Yeah, it's super awesome.
That sounds amazing. And I also think the Oculus Rift like will I really think that it actually will change things with the new haptic feedbacks and the Mayo stuff. I genuinely believe that there are people who would like to not be people anymore and that the Oculus Rift will help them with that.
Oh my god, if I could be a cyborg tomorrow, I would do it. If I could plug into the Matrix fucking tomorrow, give it to me. I don't give a shit about this.
Replacing with machine.
This shell? It's like could, fleshy shell. Get it out of here.
I would be perfectly happy if I could just be running around on, you know, an omnidirectional treadmill exploring an awesome world and shooting things.
I don't even need to be standing. I'm okay if it's just like hooked up to my brain and I'm lying down and I slowly turn to jelly.
Did you guys go see Game
like
On
gamer?
At the
yeah,
Science Center?
It was awesome.
Did
the
you
big
try
hamster
the Russian
ball?
The hamster ball?
It was awesome.
That was so much fun, except that it was designed for people who don't weigh 130 pounds. It was designed for men who weigh 230 pounds, all of which is muscle, so I had a lot of trouble driving it.
Yeah, it was kind of...
I just loved it, except for the fact that I was like horizontal the whole time, hanging
off
a balance
bar
and shooting. Like,
that's why the omnidirectional treadmill with the fancy
so
shoes.
Cool.
That's gonna be... I'm gonna be so fucking jacked, man,
I feel
when
like
that comes
very
to my
wealthy
house.
People will be able to do that. I don't know how other people who are not very wealthy will be able to do it, but... I'm just very jazzed for these things. I think that's all my questions for you two, because you just gave me exactly what I was looking for right away. That part gets elided from transcription. So.
I feel like it's conducting interviews over the last 2 years. I just want to, like, reach through the screen and be like, just say this in my voice. Just say my voice.
Just say it, except you say it so that I didn't say it so the research isn't compromised.
Yeah.
You know what I'm looking for.
See, that's the thing about documentary. It doesn't have to be fucking ethical. Everyone thinks it does.
No.
No documentary in the history of ever has ever been produced completely ethically.
No, I'm cynical.
And be entertaining.
Max, when you get back, I'll talk to you.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
We only have 5 rooms, and they all go straight to the next one.
That's okay.
So I think it's gonna be pretty. I'm not like super intimidated by putting it into the tool.
Yeah, no, it should be good. I'm really looking forward to seeing how different people use the tool. Like, I'm interested in how the kids from OCAD are hacking it because they really wanted it to be Unity, and I'm interested in seeing how people with video libraries are like, wait, what do you mean my game won't corrupt at the last hour and then crash? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Are you talking about? I can use my existing skills to produce a game.
That's what's so awesome is I'm so used to having to learn all new skills every single time I jam.
Yeah.
And then I get really frustrated and I don't want to do it anymore. So this one, I was like, I know how to do all this stuff already. Mostly.
That is basically my thesis. So, you know, thank you for saying that. Okay.
Just